runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 196 with guest Brian Randall. Recorded Tuesday, January 7th, 2011. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. You listen to Run As Radio. With me, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard. What's going on today?
You know, here we are, plugging away, exploring the range of topics that that IT folks care about. This is going to be a weird one, though.
This is a weird one?
Oh, yeah. We got Brian Randall. It's always crazy with Brian Randall. That's how it works.
Yeah, but the topic's pretty cool. I think this is some interesting stuff that I'm kind of looking forward to learning a little bit about.
Absolutely. So let's introduce our guest. Brian Randall's a senior consultant with MCW Technologies. For over 20 years, Brian has been building software solutions and educating his fellow developers. And I'm going to leave it right there because you've been on the show before. Brian, you get around, right?
Yeah. That's the rumor.
Aren't you involved in building a lot of that hands-on lab stuff for TechEd?
I've built labs. I've built virtual machines. I've spoken. I am a general troublemaker.
Yeah, we always have a good time, that's for sure.
Yes,
there's lots
definitely.
Going on. So why does Studio 2010 lab management matter to the IT pro? Isn't this dev tools?
Well, yes and no. There's two issues. Number one, why do you care? Because you're going to have to support it.
Right.
And the reason that is that in its first release, you know, as part of their goal to ship, right, they said, okay, we're going to build on top of a virtualization stack or two or three. Naturally, being Microsoft, they're going to support Hyper-V first.
Right.
Makes sense. Okay, so now if you want to build on top of Hyper-V, you have two choices. One, go core to the native APIs through WMI. Or there's this other product that Microsoft has that IT pros who do virtualization in the Microsoft space should care a lot about, System Center Virtual Machine Manager.
Yes. Love my SCVMM. It's my favorite.
There you go, baby.
What a great tool.
So the key with that is that they said, okay, if we use SCVMM, we get a great jump up. In other words, we can build on top of their infrastructure, their APIs, and just add the stuff that developers need. Well, it turns out the downside of that is that SCVMM wants to be in a domain. Right, that's a requirement in the current release.
Absolutely.
So now it's going to be in your domain. That means you're not going to get just the general rogue developer setting up a lab management server, right? So now you start thinking about the fact that we're in this domain of, hey, developers don't want to be IT pros, and IT pros don't want to be developers. So they got to bring some beer and fudge together and talk and say, okay, you take care of the infrastructure and get me ready to go, and then I'll be a good boy and play inside my sandboxes. So IT pros care because, number one, they're going to have to deploy and help out with the core infrastructure, the Hyper-V servers, the System Center server, and possibly helping create the base images that are used for lab. Now, I will hypothesize that I think that there is this world where the IT pro might look at lab management and go, I might be able to use that.
Really?
Yeah. And so this is what I've been pondering, and right now I'm working on articulating this in a format that can be published, whether it be through Microsoft as a white paper, et cetera. I just finished some video voiceovers for them that they had recorded, and those are up there, but they're focused for the dev side. But when I think about the IT pro, let's talk about a typical in-house application that maybe is a rich Windows application. Let's say it's a Windows form business application. You've got to deploy that into your infrastructure. Now, if you're an IT pro, depending upon the size of your organization and network, you might do the network copy by hand. You might invest in things like click once. You might invest in something more large scale, any of the products from Tivoli to Microsoft's System Center family for deployment,
right,
to even group policy for deployment.
Yes.
Okay, so anytime you deploy new technology into your environment, right, most smart IT pros say, you know, I should have some kind of test implementation first. I should do some kind of, let's use the term, staging, So let's see. Developers are concerned with their builds and the churn that goes on and what they change inside. The IT pro is concerned with how will this new piece of software impact my production environment.
Right.
So what if I could set up an environment that simulates production but is a production, and I could test the deployment process of this new application? Oh, now lab management is looking really cool, because one of the great things about lab management is it supports a feature called network fencing. With network fencing, I can bring up virtual domains inside my corporate environment
that aren't visible in the larger environment, just protected inside their little virtual space?
Exactly.
Okay.
So what that means is, as an IT pro, you could set up your own lab environment using lab management that simulates part of your production environment. In particular, we think about the systems we're building today, which require clients, whether it be web clients, rich clients, smart clients, RIAs, whatever, talking to web servers, web services, talking to databases.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what kind of stuff's going to go on. If you can simulate that environment, you're going to make happier users. And the cool thing about this is that lab management lets you manage things like snapshots and multi-server configurations as a single unit. So that's why I think it's super compelling. I think for things like testing out new SharePoint deployments, new Exchange deployments, there's all sorts of cool things you can do through lab management. Like I said, the problem is, you know, it's in the developer space, so a lot of IT pros won't look at it. But I think if they have an organization that's going to use it on the dev side, they're going to help set it up. They're going to get going. And that's why I think they might find it interesting.
So it's called Visual Studio 2010 Lab Management, right?
Yes.
Do I have to have Visual Studio, and do I need to understand and know how to use Visual Studio as a non-developer in order to use this, or is it really something separate?
No, so let's go over the packaging, because that's pretty important. First of all, it is viewed as a benefit to two specific licenses from Microsoft. So originally, you were going to have to buy server licenses. You were going to have to buy, basically, it was going to be processor-based licensing. Mm-hmm. And then Microsoft said, hey, we want everybody to try this, and we want to increase the value of our high-end technology. They said, here's the following. If you purchase Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate with your MSDN subscription, or the new Test Professional product with your MSDN subscription, you get a license to lab management.
And what does that license cover?
Well, that license covers setting up your lab environment. And so it basically supports you setting up and running it. Now, people who are going to access it to manage virtual machines or to do tests, et cetera, and use it, they need the appropriate licenses. So the key is that the low-end entry point then is the Test Pro license, which gives you the license and gives you the front end, which is the Microsoft Test Manager front end, which has two feature areas. It has the tester area and it has the lab management area. So if you're looking to get lab management, your minimum entry price is going to be, you know, one Test Professional license with MSDN, which retails under $3,000. Like, I think, don't quote me on price, it's like, I think, $2,400 retail US.
Yeah, I'm looking on Frugal for Test Professional with MSDN, and it was $2,500.
There you go. Yeah, this is a new SKU, so there's no upgrades. When they do have an upgrade, I think the pricing goes down to an $800 upgrade.
Right.
But since it's the first release, there's no upgrades, of course.
But odds are somebody inside your organization owns a Studio 2010 Ultimate somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with IntelliTrace, it's hard not to have a couple people have that in an organization. IntelliTrace, you know, pays for Ultimate.
Right.
And so then you get this benefit of lab. Now, the extra things, of course, you need is you're going to need a System Center VMM server. And the good news is they give you a license for only lab, so you can't manage your production servers. But they give you a lab license copy of that.
Right.
And the plumbing goes with it. So what you really need to buy when it comes down to is you're going to have to buy the appropriate domain infrastructure, which you'll already have. So it's really very cost effective. And by getting that MSDN subscription, that covers the virtual machines that are under test. So you use your MSDN license to create your virtual machines that you test for. As long as they're not used in production, you're covered.
Right. That's exactly what the MSDN licenses were for, is that to be able to do this kind of testing.
Exactly.
So I'm The typical kind of testing that my devs want to do is to stand up a version of the application environment. So that might be an IIS server, maybe some kind of app server, a SQL server, and maybe a few clients.
Exactly.
So the idea that what Lab Manager really does is package that up as a unit. So it's pretty much one click, all that stuff lights up, ship the version that you want to run in it, and off it goes.
Yeah, it's really cool. We have this workflow process that's integrated with Team Build and TFS. So if a minimum deployment is going to be the following. You're going to need a domain controller, a System Center VMM server, a Team Foundation server, and you're going to want to get the automation. You're going to want a Team Build server. So you're really looking at, for instance, now just so you know, you're right, for playing around with this, you can do it on one physical machine with some little tricks with Hyper-V. I usually carry two machines with me on the road where I have one that's a host for all the VMs I use and then one that's the Hyper-V host that's part of my lab domain.
Right.
So doing this setup, though, what happens is the way the process works is I can set up a workflow build. And what this workflow build will do is it'll start up and say, okay, what do you want to do? I want to run a build and deploy it. So as part of that, you tell it which lab environment you want to use. So an environment is, in this context specifically, one or more virtual machines acting as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pick that environment, you can say, by the way, before you start doing anything, I want you to snapshot it or set it at this particular baseline, this particular known good.
Right.
Now, once you do that, then you say, okay, I would like you to run and create a build. Now, this is optional. You can actually take the output of an existing build, which is really good when you're at that beta 2, that RC stage, where you want to keep deploying the same version and you're just tweaking the environment.
Right.
But either way you can do that, you get to control the deployment. And basically anything that you can specify, MSI, MSDeploy, PowerShell, batch files, I've done Xcopy, whatever you want, you to specify in which virtual machine things need to go to. And once that deployment's done, you can say, you do another snapshot. And then now, in this environment, run some automated tests for me. That can all be done as part of the automated workflow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty compelling. And I usually, you know, show that demo at TechEd and people are pretty, you know, pretty happy about that. So for developers, it's great because overnight you can build up this entire environment and both your testers and developers benefit. Testers benefit because number one, their automated tests will be run and then they have access to this environment if they want to go in and do some additional manual testing. And if there's any bugs or problems, they can look at the environment. And here's the cool thing. Let's say I'm doing a test as a tester. So I go through. I find a bug. Not only can I do all the great, you know, actionable bug stuff, I can include IntelliTrace logs. I can include screen snapshots. I can do a video recording. But I also can say, you know what, snapshot the environment right now where the bug was found. And when I send the bug, it includes a link to that snapshot. And a developer who has Visual Studio Ultimate can open that bug from TFS, look at it, click the link, and assuming no one's using the environment, they can connect to it at the snapshot point and basically debug and find the problem in the environment. Pretty compelling.
That's very slick. Now I want to think about, like, I see as an IT pro, I like the idea of a simple workflow that says, stand up a domain controller, you stand up this IIS box, like all of the things I need to do to say, do, and a couple of workstation clients is I want to test a group policy change.
Absolutely.
Back to Greg's original question, do I need to touch Studio through this whole process?
No, you would just use the lab management interface and System Center VMM.
And so, I mean, now you got me squirrely here, Brian. I'm all excited.
Hold on. I did lie a little. You will be in the Visual Studio shell because you have to talk to if you want to do the automated build configuration.
But I don't need build if I'm not deploying my apps, right? I'm talking about... I want to do some group policy tests, or I'm considering standing up a new Exchange server, and I want to look at, you know, play with what the shuffling of mailboxes is going to look like. That those kinds of problems, where I basically want to have some emulation of my existing infrastructure in a protected environment, so I can play. I mean, this is stuff I do today, but I'm doing it much more manually.
I want a snapshot of my Windows, you know, Server 2008 machine that I already have deployed. I have a snapshot of that. Now I want to update with some new version of third-party software. I want to deploy some brand new third-party software, and I want to be able to do some tests and see how it impacts my environment.
Yeah, you could definitely do all that. In fact, what happens is, as an IT pro, you're gonna pretend you're a tester, right? Because that's what you're actually doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you would use the test interface. Basically, you'd go in, define your environment, set the VMs, you'd spin it up, and then you'd go through the built-in console, which uses RDP to let you interact with it, and you can go through and access any of the servers. And the best part, you can then snapshot them as a group. And, try different policy configurations. And you can move between those snapshots very easily.
Yeah, this is really, SCVMM did a lot of this. We were able to snapshot machines, create new VMs of it, and then you can set up the isolation and so forth. But for me, the big issue here is, typically if I want to do a software test like that, I got to stand up half a dozen instances of VMs and do some network isolation on them, right? I don't want that a snapshot domain controller to talk to the real domain.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to keep it protected. So it's
there's a wizard in the lab management tools that you go through, and one of the things you do is you specify what features you want. So you can say, I want network isolation because I'm going to stand up a domain controller. Or maybe you don't, it's not even a domain controller. You just don't want anybody else poking in those VMs. You don't want them logging onto your network and picking up, IP addresses from your DHCP server production, whatever it is. You have a lot of flexibility there. And then you have the ability to say, okay, yes, I want to do automated deployment testing. I want to collect information about the environment. Like, for example, it can gather event log data. And that's the cool thing, right? There's all these things that are for testers and developers, but IT pros, they want a bunch of that metadata too for their deployment. And so that's what makes it, I think, really compelling.
Yeah, absolutely. This is very, I had no idea. I'm very excited about this because this is about making it much easier to do proper tests every time we're going to experiment with anything, whether it's a group policy change or an infrastructure reorganization or a new version of an application. This is not that tough to do when it's just one machine. The big one is when I want to test out the proper redistribution of a new app across the whole infrastructure.
Yeah, I think that's the compelling piece. It's that thinking of the things as a unit, an environment, whereas with System Center VMM, I would have to do it by myself
right. And
keep track of which ones, what state they're in.
Well, you tend to do shortcuts, right? If I'm testing a new version of software, I'm just going to stand up a VM that is an image of a particular workstation type inside my organization. That's enough. But if you've got it organized so that I already have my deployment server and my domain controller, all of that stuff as one button click, boom, simulated full operating environment is there, I'll do the test as a group policy deployment instead.
Yep.
And find out that the software runs fine, but the way I was deploying it doesn't work right.
Exactly. That's the key point here, right? We're not looking to find problems for development and tests. What we're trying to do is, how does it play in my environment? What changes in my environment are going to affect success either way?
Right. Well, and the classic one that bites you is a group policy conflict or a conflict with the domain. And when you stood up the single machine, you never saw that.
Exactly.
It's only when you do the full deployment. So, and literally with this set of tools, I should be able to take snapshots of existing servers, pull them in as VMs, and put them in the isolated environment.
Oh, well, no.
Ah?
We don't do that. We're not doing that yet. So that would require, but understand that there's no magic in the tools to do that. This goes back to my point about how IT pros and developers are going to have to be friends.
Right.
Yeah.
When you go to set an environment up, an environment can be, one or more virtual machines. Okay. Well, where do you get those virtual machines from? Well, when you create an environment, you can say build it from a template, which is something I've defined inside System Center VMM, and which, mm-hmm. by the way, sorry, yeah, this is interview. I get too many M's sometimes in there. is a virtual machine template that is an OS that's been set up the way you want it, has agents on it, anything you need, and has been sysprepped.
Yeah.
But the problem is you can't sysprep certain servers. So what you can other do is say take a stored virtual machine, and that's called adding an existing virtual machine.
Right.
Now, wherever you get your existing virtual machines from, that's up to you. But there's nothing in Lab Manager that says go to and grab this production server.
No, but I part of building up my environment is I could use the P2V tools in SCVMM to pull in some existing machines and then stick them in this environment. But then
absolutely, and that's definitely the IT pro domain. Like a developer's not even going to think about that. Most of them, right?
No,
But what you're saying is, and on the flip side is, yes, if you can, as long as you can get the VM to be correct, set up correctly inside System Center, and then you can bring it into your environment, yes, no problem. That is the correct statement. And in fact, that's what you're probably going to do on an iterative basis, because the copies from production or even your real staging environments are going to be kept, are be fairly current. Because that's the one downside to snapshotting, right? When you have domains, Active Directory after a while gets upset about being rolled back and tombstoning and all that.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I definitely wanted, I've made this mistake where I've lit up a VMM for test, but didn't isolate the network, and suddenly it's talking to the main domain and all hell's breaking loose.
Exactly.
You only have to make that mistake once before, you know, we're talking about physically isolating the network just so that never happens. But if I could automate it in such a way, this is, you know, this is the pain that I've dealt with, where if lab management can give me an automated process that says, here, construct a virtualized isolated network. Now light these VMs that are there, a simulated version of my domain.
Yeah, it really is, you know, has lots of options. You know, the key point is that we're still, this is a typical problem we have in this chasm that exists between IT pro and dev, is that there's some great tools like the PDV tools and stuff and everything else, but you've got to get those VMs first into System Center. Once they're there, you go run the wizard, define the environment. Once that environment's defined, then you can automate it and just rerun it. You reuse it all the time, you know, and then update it and then keep using it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm stoked.
That sounds pretty cool.
I need this. This I got to do.
it's good stuff, brother. I think I might have to make another trip up. I'll trade you some barbecue and we'll build up a lab.
There you go. We'll build, yeah. And the nice thing is, sweet. This is the same thing we do with the test environments for the devs too. Hardware-wise, you don't need a lot of horsepower. The big machines can run multiple VMs pretty painlessly. As long as you're not trying to benchmark for performance just for functionality, it's fine.
Yeah, if you're patient, you know, you don't need super fast. But then again, I just got this new little QNAP box for an iSCSI target. I was just doing some tests this morning, copying from one machine to another, and I'm getting 95 megabytes a second copy rate.
Holy
I copied cow. a 10 gig VM file over, and what it say? I got took a minute and 51 seconds. Right. So if you have gigabit Ethernet, and you know these are just 7200 RPM Western Digital 1 terabyte black drives, caviars.
Right. You're not even
7200 RPMs. I'm not even doing my high end SSD config.
Right.
So you know, as long as you're not impatient, you know, and have decent hard, right? You don't have to have the best.
No.
But you can do so much with just a little NAS device with iSCSI and a proper Hyper-V box.
Absolutely. And this is the great thing about this is, you know, but up until now, I've largely looked at this and said, as an IT guy, I'm going to stand up the VM hardware for the testers. And that's pretty much where I'm going to wash my hands. Okay, here's your gear. Use it the way you want. You know, you have the privileges to play whatever you want in these machines. I'm not going to share any production boxes with you. You get your own computer for this, and that's it. Now I'm suddenly interested in understanding lab management a whole bunch myself, and it'll be interesting to see how, when an IT person really understands how to use this tool for his own purposes, how the operation between dev and IT will be different.
You know, exactly. So the number one place, like, I'm interested in playing with it right now to do it is SharePoint.
Really?
Because here's the problem with SharePoint, right? If I want to do, you know, most of my customers I dealt with who do real have, particularly deploying TFS, right? Because that's where I tend to come into the house a lot, right? I come in to help with TFS deployment. And a lot of my customers with TFS are saying, okay, well, we're using SharePoint or we want to. And, you know, depending on where they're at, they're like, okay, we've got an existing 2007 environment or we want to deploy into 2010. Well, most of the people who do it right, like decent-sized companies, I'm saying decent, I'm talking maybe, you know, 250 people, right, want a real SharePoint config. So they're thinking, okay, we want some load balancing, we want some, you know, scalability, and we want search. So a typical clustered config for SharePoint is going to be four servers, two
right.
web front ends, your back-end database server, and a search server. Well, that's four machines. Now you want to say, I'm going to drop the TFS box in here, or I want to deploy a new feature, right? Well, do you want to risk taking down and screwing up the SharePoint cluster for your company? No.
No.
So what if I do? P2V my environment, bring it over, get it set up, now bring it virtually and take the developer, because, you know, developers will do all the testing and testers will do the testing. But, you know, until you try it in your basic runtime config that matches production, I don't know if I want to throw a feature that could bring down the SharePoint box that a developer's written bad code for.
Sure.
You know, and when I say bring it down, I don't mean it's going to crash it, but make it run slow, you know, make the user's data get corrupt, you know, anything like that's going to make me look bad, even if it's the developer's fault.
Well, that's why IT guys are always grumpy.
Right?
Because all we do all day is try and defend the data from the developers, right? Because we're always on the hook. It's our fault if the data gets damaged. Doesn't matter that he did it. I did not rename every customer Robert Smith. I just made it possible right. for him to do it. So it's my fault.
Why did you make it possible for me to
yes.
do that? Yeah.
Exactly. Why aren't you protecting me from myself?
Exactly. So that's what makes me just think that, you know, we need some better documentation, because right now, if you go look at the docs, it's all for dev testers, right? The IT pro thing, it was just something that dawned on me at Tech Ed in New Orleans. A guy came up to the booth and asked me, and I was like, well, sure you could. You could do this, this, and this. And I was like, wow, that's actually pretty interesting. So it's just kind of been germinating in my head.
Well, and it's exactly that. We're doing it anyway. But it's risk. It'd be literally you have to judge the risk of I'm going to take the time to actually stand up some VMs in an isolated network to try and check this out. The fact that you're going to package up that process of here is a subnet isolated on the network, and here are the four instances that are pre-configured of the production environment I need, right? A domain controller and an IaaS box and so forth. Everything I need to get going at one click. And now what do you want to do? Let's try deploying an app. Let's tweak a group policy and then see what the behaviors are. It's very compelling. That's just a lot of pain that goes away.
Yeah. And there's so many places that we'll be able to make it better in future releases. And even today, right, I'm looking at ways that I can do extra stuff through the API to make it a little more appealing to the IT pro. So that they, for example, could not even have to look at Visual Studio if they want to do the automated build part.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and here's the thing about it, Richard, right? To be an IT pro, if you're going to actively support these guys, you're going to have a license. You're going to have to buy a test pro license anyway.
Yes. So why not use it?
Because it's licensed per user. So from that perspective, if you're an IT pro, you're like, well, I've got to help set the test guys. So I'll give them a big enough box that says, you know, here's your VM that you can play with, and maybe I'll try out a couple on my own. You know, it's all you have to do is give it a try, right? You know, your testers are going to demand it. Your IT, your development team, if they're invested in TFS and they get this stuff going and they're mature enough, they're going to want this product.
Yes.
So if you bring it into your house, you might as well take a look. It's kind of like you got this brand new Surface 2.0 table in your living room and you're saying, you know, yeah, I bought it for the developers, but I'm not going to look at it. Of course you are. You're going to touch it. You're going to play with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and absolutely should. This is understanding that these opportunities are here is what makes it more interesting. And this is already work we're doing, so why not make it easier to do? And realistically, we're on the first version of lab management, right? This is
yes.
It's only came out with 2010. Although I know there's been a few patches to it already.
Yeah, well, to be clear about the patches, what happened was Visual Studio 2010 RTM'd in April.
Right.
Lab management was RC at that point. And then what happened is in August, that's when the lab management folks RTM'd. And to get the RTM version, you need the GDR patch. So those are your two minimum things. Now, the key thing is that just brings you up to RTM. And then there's been a couple, you know, Visual Studio has various different patches. Like there's a WPF menu patch. There is a patch for Microsoft Test Manager. The UX has a, there's a memory leak patch. But overall, they've only done one release.
So generally speaking, a shop that's already using TFS internally and already using SCVMM internally is most of the way to using lab management anyway.
Absolutely.
They probably need one additional license, and it's a test professional license.
Yeah, they need at least one license, and most organizations are probably going to need two or three.
Right.
And once again, though, this goes back to the benefit of how it's an add-on to Ultimate and Test Pro.
Yes.
Right? The developers, you know, every developer I show IntelliTrace to goes, I want it.
Yes.
Now, maybe not every company can afford to give
their money. No, because Ultimate is, what, 12 grand? It's not cheap.
It's, you know, that's 11 retail. No one should pay retail. But let's just say over a three-year license agreement, because you have to have the MSD, because they don't sell it now. You can't buy it off the shelf. You can only buy Pro off the shelf.
Right.
But if you get Ultimate, let's say over a three-year contract, you're probably looking at, you know, 4 or 5 grand
right.
a year kind of thing, you right. know.
on a volume license.
Yeah, you definitely want to look at volume licensing. And I'm the worst part to give prices. I only know the retail price.
Yes.
Just no one pays retail.
Volume license, you save quite a bit.
There's probably folks listening to this show that own a license to this and aren't using it.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
There's a copy, because like you said, devs have got a copy of Ultimate because they want IntelliTrace. They may not be using lab management. There's no reason not to take this out for a spin. Now, you know, once you know you want it, then make sure you own a license for you. But
for the individual.
Yeah, but you've right? already yeah. got this, because most organizations are going to have at least one copy of Ultimate floating around, so they have IntelliTrace and the web load test tools. And there's a few other things that are, I think, unique to 2010 Ultimate.
Yeah, the architecture tools are unique also.
Yeah. So there's definitely bits out there. But it just feels like this is just a piece that fits between everything else we're already doing.
It really does, Richard. And you know, it's like you and I, right? We both write code, but we also spend, you know, a lot of time on the IT pro side of the house.
Yeah.
And that chasm, you know, just there's more that, you know, either you have to know it yourself or you have to be friends. And the thing about when friends get together is friends start talking and going, boy, you know, that might be nice if I could use that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when you share a buddy a new type of scotch with someone. You go, this is my favorite. You might like this. Oh, yeah, I do. and I think that's what's really good about this.
You know what? I've just thought of something. That this is a question that comes up in my mind periodically. Where is a good place for IT pros to go to learn the basic fundamentals of practical software development that IT pros could use? I know this – sorry to switch topics a little bit, but I've been thinking about it for the last couple minutes. So – it's hard if you are an IT person who would like to be able to do some basic programming, if you will, to try to solve problems, to find a good place to go for that. You guys have any resources that people should know about?
You know, I do have had this question a few times. I'm working with a couple of IT pros here in Vancouver who are now taking classes at the local community college on software development, specifically to do more advanced PowerShell stuff, because PowerShell has access to the .NET stack. And so they've hit a wall where it's like, I can't do the macros anymore. I'm getting PowerShell scripts from other sources that have .NET coded and I don't understand. I'm going to learn this stuff. But yeah, I don't know if you've got a better answer than that, Brian, but that's where they've been going, is that the local college has .NET classes.
Yeah, you know, I don't think, you know, definitely there's no, that I know of. Now, granted, you know, this is the thing, right? There's a wild world out there. But I don't know of anybody, and I know I never have, but I've thought about it. I just wonder, would anybody show up, right? You know, because there is this need when you think about, like, you know, the big things you think about today, PowerShell, WMI, right? Those are, and then, of course, the .NET framework, right? Those are things that have so much power to give to the IT pro if they just knew enough programming.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, programming is scary, right? You're just like, group policy is scary to me, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think there is any out there. I mean, you have, for example, great websites like stackoverflow.com and serverfall.com.
Mm-hmm.
But those actually keep us in our world, right? You know, and that's the problem is, as an IT pro, knowing even what the question to ask is.
Yeah. And I think this is where the collaboration comes in. If both sides of the fence wanted to use lab management, you're going to get a better implementation for both of them than either one of them wanting it. And it's certainly, you know, I've made a big chunk of my living sitting between dev and IT pro dealing with website performance, and where you need both sets of skills and you need folks working on both sides to be successful with it. It's just a whole other layer to it that we both need to do testing. It's different kinds of testing, but we both need to do it. And this looks like the first tool I've ever seen that brings the two together.
Well, it's definitely a first from Microsoft. And, you know, it's funny because I'm working with a customer right now, and we set up their new TFS 2010 installation back in July. And we're getting ready in the new year to do their deployment. They just purchased some Ultimate licenses. They are getting their testers set up. You know, they're going to go big on this. But to get it going, right, I've had multiple meetings, and I'm having to sit between the IT pros in their house and developers and translate vocabulary and talk to people and say who has to do what. So, you know, I'm heavily invested in making this better for the IT pro. It's just a matter of, is it something that can be turned into courseware, books, articles, or is it what it is right now for me, a consulting engagement, because you have to deal with all the unique things about people's environment.
Sure. Well, I've always used consulting engagements as training grounds for writing good material afterwards, too. So
Exactly. I've run into things in dealing with these customers in the last 6 months that I would never have run into in my lab.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're going to build up some great case studies on how to do this, Brian.
Yeah, that's what I'm really hoping for. So the next, hopefully by tech ed, I'll have some really good stories to tell.
Awesome. Well, we'll bring you back and talk it through.
That'd be awesome.
All right, Brian, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.